the blast, I had a laugh when Dan sent me the text straight away of like, yeah, you only have, you can only give that kind of text to a French man, right? If you never read Galatians 3, that's pretty much, that's the only letter of Paul and probably the only chapter of Paul where he's not British anymore. He's French. And I do love Galatians a lot. We did a lot of exercises with Galatians. In Bible colleges, we tend to ask our second-year students, when I was working in Bible college, to take the Gospels, particularly Mark and Matthew, and Galatians, and the Old Testament. And we were divide the class in two. One part was for the law, and what part was for grace. And we were arguing with the students, say, hey, the law part, you need to argue from these texts, Old Testament, only Mark's Gospel, Matthew's Gospel, and Galatians. That's it. That's all you have. You need to argue for the law. And the other ones, they need to argue for grace. I've done that for 5 years on the row. Guess who won every year? The law. Ooh. And today, grace is going to win. No, I'm joking. Yeah, of course. But maybe there's a misconception here that I will talk about a bit later. So today we're going to talk about freedom in Christ, right? Hallelujah. Thank you. You know, freedom in Christ, this is our core beliefs, right? He's risen. That's how we can shout, we have freedom in Christ, okay? And Paul is crazy. Like, he's really out of his mind when he sees this church. He's like, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. He starts like that. You foolish Galatians. Who have bewitched you? What's happening in your head? What have you done? And I love that. And he jumped with urgency and grief. Could you feel grief in this sentence as well? He planted that church. He went for them. He did the job with them. He spent hours and hours to preach, to teach, to hug, to rebuke, to repent with them. And he went away, and that's the result. They began their journey with Jesus through the power of the Spirit, but now they are trying to finish by their own efforts, by their own deeds. They had tested freedom, and now they're slipping back into slavery. That's why Paul is, you know, he's like, what? What are you doing? It's a nonsense. How on earth could you go from, you know, slavery to freedom and be willing to go back to slavery? It's a nonsense. But you know what? As I was reading and studying that text, I was like, actually, Galatians, they're like me. Actually, Galatians, they're like you. You know what? Because this is here, the original problem of mankind. Go back into the garden. What happened in the garden? We wanted control. We wanted to be our own lords. We wanted to be our own kings. Right? And it's so deep in us that this is what we really want. Oh, we can make nice sentences. We can come to church every Sunday. And the prayer meetings, I don't know what it is in the week. I think it's Wednesday or something like that. Yeah? Yeah. Oh, gospel community, sorry. Yeah, you have fancy words as well. Apologize, Pastor. But yeah, they come together and you do everything. But if you lose sight of who is Christ in your life, if we lose sight of what he's done in our life, if we live like prisoners of our own lives, we make the gospel not worthy of a lot. Because the gospel is freedom in itself and not just freedom of sin. We're going to see that later. We love control. We love being in charge. And you know what? Rules are a blessing for legalistic mindset. When we love rules, this is where we ended up. We ended up in prisons. And I'm not saying the law is not good. I will come back to that. We know that living the gospel is not about ourselves. It's not about self-improvement. It's not about sometimes we have Jesus, you know, alongside our life. But he's just alongside. He's not really into our life. Sometimes we have, yeah, all the good things, all the godly things, but we don't have the main thing. We don't have Jesus. We don't have intimacy with him. We don't have his love, his grace. We don't live his freedom. And Paul is coming to say, this is not good. Look what he says in Romans 6, 1 and 2. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? That's not possible. And I'm going to ask you now to pause for a moment. And I'm going to do that 2 or 3 times during the sermon, because you said I have 2 5-hour, or maybe that was 25 minutes. I don't remember. So just pause for a moment. If it's easier, close your eyes. And just think about the Galatians example and think about your own heart. And I'm going to think about my own heart. And asking that question to your heart. Have I started my journey with Jesus with grace and freedom only to slip back into performance and control? And I'm going to give you an example that I'm pretty sure is going to speak to everyone in this room. What about reading your Bible? Oh, we know we have to read the Bible. You know we have to love that book. But how many of us were like, I struggle so much to spend time. You know, sometimes just to read 1 verse or 10 verses or whatever. And I struggle because it's something I have to do. And let me correct us, including myself this morning. No, we don't have to do it. We love to do it. That's different. We don't have to read the Bible. We love spending time in the Bible because this is life-giving, because this is our identity, right? I read a long time ago that every revivalist in the UK and in the world, they had the same thing in common. They were reading a lot of chapter every day. I'm talking about 30 or 40 per day. They spend hours in the Word of God, hours in prayers. And do you know what? Nobody forced them. They never did that because they had to. They did that because they loved to do it. Amen? So here's the key issue for Paul, verse 3. After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? He started this journey by trusting Jesus by the power of his Spirit, not with your flesh, not with your brain, not with your effort. In fact, even Jesus will say in John 14, I will send you the helper to do what? To remind you my teaching, to give you all things, to, you know, tell you all things you need. Paul remind this truth to them, verse 14. He, Jesus, redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles, which is us, if you're not Jew, through Christ Jesus, so that, listen that carefully, by faith we might receive the promise of what? The Spirit. There's something coming up here, and I'm like, okay, what are you talking about, Paul? But Paul is a bit angry because he's like, why on earth are you now trying to finish it, finish your life, finish your service, finish your worship by your own strength when actually you're free in Christ? When actually you're free to follow his voice? When actually you can walk with him every single day by his Spirit? And you know what I love with Paul, and I'm not going to dig into the text because there's a lot of things here that Paul is saying, but Paul is clever. He's like, you want to talk about the old covenant? You want to go back in the old ways? Let's talk about that. But unlike you, I'm not going to go back to Moses. I'm going to start with Abraham. You need to realize that everything started with him. Everything started with the promise. And I invite you to read again that chapter 3 in your own time tonight and to see what Paul is doing here. You like the old covenant? Let's go back to the old covenant. You think the old covenant was better? You're right. Because the promise was given through the old covenant. You think the law is good? You're right. But where you're wrong is freedom will not come from the law. Freedom will come from the only one who embraced the promise, who incarnate the law, and give us freedom, salvation, right? Romans 8. I've done that a lot. I don't know if you will forgive me for that, but I found Galatians text very, you know, having some, how do you say, vis-a-vis with Romans. All right, all over the place. Romans 8, 3 and 4. For what the law was powerless to do, it doesn't say it's not good, it just says it's powerless to do, God did it by sending his own son so that the righteous requirements of the law, see, it's righteous, it's not bad, the law is righteous, might be fully met in us. It has been in Jesus, but because it has been in Jesus, now it's fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's why we need to promise to receive the promise of the Spirit, because that's the only way we can live that freedom of Christ through his Spirit. So he started with Abraham, and that's interesting because remember Jesus' stories. You know the gospel by heart, I'm pretty sure, right? And Jesus, every time he talks to the leaders, every time he talks to the Pharisees, to the teachers, what happened? They always try to bring Jesus back to Moses, to the law. And Jesus says, no. I'm going to bring you back to before the law. And that's why he asked the question, do you think Abraham was saved through the law? It didn't exist. That's what Galatians is saying here. It wasn't there. But what was there is faith. What was there is the choice of a man of God, that comes to God and said, I chose to follow you. I chose to believe what you say. And that is faith, right? Now, maybe I don't know what you understand about belief, but because I'm not an English speaker as much as I can, right? I have to dig. Believing is a weird word, because in your culture, the British one, in my French culture, in the Italian culture of my wife, believing pretty much stays here. It's a concept. It's something that you think it's true, right? It's over there in your mind. In the Jewish mindset, in the Jewish culture, it's not at all. Belief has to do three things. It has to go there in your brain, in your intellect. You need to understand what you believe, the concept, but then it needs to go down in your heart. It needs to become part of you. It needs to be influential in every aspect of your life. And the only way to see that is it needs to come to your hands. You need to act as if you will understand that this truth, this concept has been digested in you and now you act upon it. That's the meaning of believing in the Jewish culture. So when they say, oh, he believed that was, you know, and that was granted to him righteousness, it's a lot of things that happened here. Every action of Abraham, everything he was doing, it was because he knew God was here to do something. It's not just a concept. It's not just something over there, right? And you and I, we are the children of that promise. Being a child of the promise means being born through faith. And you know that because this is your story. I know that because this is my story. I couldn't approach Jesus just by concept, just by intellect, or even because I was fear of death or fear of hell or whatever. I couldn't do that this way. I had at some point to say, I do not understand everything. I do not grasp the entirety of your love. I just do not. I'm not enough to understand that. But I want to believe. I choose to believe that everything you said is true. And that is the gospel. Yes? Jesus. The promises, I want to spend a bit on talking about promises here, and then I'll jump to my last point. Promises for me is interesting because when we live our life, imagine you tomorrow. What are you going to do tomorrow, right? You're going to prepare for work, you're going to prepare the kids, you're going to prepare whatever, breakfast, you're going to go for your day and everything, okay? When we live that life this way, what we have to remember is the promises of God, they come with us. Because we are children of the Almighty. We bring with us the reality of who we are with us, yes? Paul says we are ambassadors. Do you know what is an ambassador? He brings with him the power, the authority, the rule, the values of the country he's coming from to a foreign country. And that's us. We live in a foreign country, believe it or not, because we're part of the kingdom of God. And the only way we can stir up that in us is to believe the promises, is to remind ourselves of the promises of God, is to remind every day of the promise that you are a child of God. I am a child of God. That was a promise that's been fulfilled through Christ, and now I have access to that promise. Yeah? It shaped my identity. It sustained me through trials. It activates my obedience and my action. Why do you obey? Why do you act upon your faith? Because you understand the promises of God and you live them. Not living them away, but living as you experience them. You go through them. When God said, I'm faithful, you go for that. When it's tough and you're like, I don't know the answer, I'm stuck in a situation, but I do know one thing, you are faithful. You bring the promise of God with you wherever you go. Amen? For all the promises of God find their yes in Christ. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory. That is why through Christ and Christ alone we have freedom. There is no other way. And that's why Paul is not happy at all. It's like, guys, I've told you that. You learned from me. This is the reality of our life now. Why on earth would you like to go back? Good question. Then he explained, verse 11, clearly no one who relies on the law is justified before God because the righteous will live by faith. Now, interestingly, that verse, the righteous will live by faith, is not of the New Testament. You know that, right? It's from the Old Testament. And he's quoting the Old Testament to explain to them how wrong they are. They slipped into another way. This is not the gospel. But the law is important. A friend of mine during the week, I was preparing that, and she sent me a text, a picture of a book she's reading. I think it's from Keller. I don't remember, or De Jong, I don't remember, one of them. And the paragraph she sent me, which was really timely because I was preparing that, it was about the law of love and the love of the law. Some Christians make the mistake of pitting love against law as if the two were mutually exclusive. You either have a religion of love or religion of law. But such an equation is profoundly unbiblical. For starter, love is a command of the law, Deuteronomy 6:5, Leviticus 19:18. Furthermore, consider the close connection Jesus himself makes between love and law. Jesus connects communion with God with keeping commandments. When we keep Christ's commandments, we love him. Love and law. And when we love Christ, the Father loves us. So when I say law now, you understand I'm talking about the entirety of the word. It's the old concept, it's the old book that we have for us, right? I would say overall, we need both. Shall I be picky and say we need spirit and truth? It's like James. When I was reading Galatians, I keep, thinking of James. James explained that very clearly. James 2, you know that text very well. You know, show me your faith without your deeds, without you following the law. Show me your faith. Come on. Show me your faith without deeds. And I will show you my faith by my deeds. It's a thing to say we are, you know, saved by grace and then live our life like we want. It's a thing to say, well, I'm full of rules like the Pharisees, but I never experienced the freedom. But Paul is saying, no, it doesn't work like that. Everything starts by Christ, but everything in love with his rules make you free. Everything together, because Christ came to fulfill the law, not to annihilate, not to cancel it, to fulfill it. And there is more. And that's the core part of what I want to share this morning with you. There is more in Galatians. Paul goes further. He reminds them of a huge truth. He redeemed us, we read that, so by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Why? Because Jesus didn't redeem us only for sin. Yeah, that's the first step. We need to repent, and he died on the cross for that, right? But because of that, he opened the door of what? Of relationship with him. And that is only possible through the cross, but with the power of the Spirit. An amazing freedom, right? Let me say something here, and I want you to listen to that. If you forget everything I've said, fine, I'll pray for you. But I want you to remind yourself of that. God wants a relationship with us. God wants a relationship with you and me. The triune God, the one who created everything, who has everything under his feet, he wants a relationship with you. If you're not believing that, let me tell you something very French, you're wrong. Because if it wasn't the case, he will never have sent his son to pay the big price for you and me. He wants that relationship. He cries for that relationship. He's all the time waiting for us to listen to his voice, to walk to his path, to embrace his reality, to accept his love. That is freedom. And that's why Paul is angry. He's like, come on, guys. God has done everything for us. Why would you go back? Why on earth would you go back? Apart maybe if you misunderstood the message at the first place. Why would you be willing to go back to a system or a covenant where you cannot have free relationship with God? When you're under the law, you cannot access God freely. If you want the old system, you need a temple. You need sacrifices. You need blood. That's the old system. The new system, as Jeremiah said to us, 31, 33, I write my law in your heart. You don't need the temple anymore. You don't need the sacrifices anymore because I've done it through my son. You have freedom. So you and me, we have to learn to live as free people. We can't live that life as prisoners. We are free. Yes? Romans 8, 15, 16, the Spirit you received, and I added, by faith because you are redeemed, the Spirit you received by faith because you are redeemed does not make you slaves, but brought you about your adoption to sonship. See, Paul is mad because he's like, what you forgot is that Christ paid everything for you, not just for your sin, not just for freedom. He did that because he wants you to be in the family. He wants to take you into his family. You're not just free in Christ to be forgiven. You receive the freedom to be part of his family. Now pause here for a minute. Forget about sermon, forget about church. Pause here for a minute. You've received that amazing gift to be part of God's family. Let me ask you that in your heart again. Do you accept the reality that you are free to be in God's family? Are you willing today to maybe repent, to maybe say, I'm sorry, Lord, I forgot that reality. I forgot that I'm part of the family. I forgot how much I'm free to live that life with you, and to be called your son, your daughter, your friend. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God, through whom we have gained access into this grace in which we now stand. We are not prisoners. We are free in Christ. We are not prisoners. We are free in Christ. So remember, you are free. Not just free from sin, but free to live for eternity with Him. Not just forgiven, but filled with Him. Not just accepted, but empowered. Not just called by name, but part of the family. Not just called by name, but part of the family. I'm emotional because there's something you don't know about me. I'm 44, and 2 years ago, I've been adopted. It's a long story. I can share the story if you want. But I know as an adult what it is to have an adoption. I know that. I lived all my life without a physical and biological dad. Never been there. Died in 2016. I had 7 years of a stepdad. Divorced my mom. And I grew up without a dad. Which in a sense was a blessing because that's the way I met God. That's the way I met the Father. And then the Son. And then the Spirit. But I can tell you something. Now I can say I have a dad. That's what I have to name in the leaflet. Brent Bally. I was born Brent. And I've been adopted Bally. And it's very emotional to me because we cannot forget that as Christians. We cannot live this life and show to the world that we're fearful of things, that we are under anxiety, that we are stuck in life. We can't show them that because we are free in Christ. And I'm not saying we have to make effort to be free. I'm just saying we have to accept that we are free. And let Him do the job through us. Let His Spirit to do the job through us. Right? We have nothing to do apart to fall on our knees, praying and reading the Word and listening to His voice. That's all we have to do. Walk in the Spirit, stand in grace, and live by faith. Walk in the Spirit, stand in grace, and live by faith. And you know what? Because Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Amen? Amen? Let me pray for us. Jesus, I want to thank You for this church. I want to thank You for their heart. I want to thank You for the purity of their heart. And I want to thank You for all the prayer they sent to us, my wife, myself, my son, my daughters, for the ministry that You have given us. I want to thank You and be grateful for that, Jesus. And now it's my turn to bless them. Oh, Jesus, I come to Your presence. I come before Your throne and I ask You to pour into this church, these two churches, all Your love, all Your grace, all understanding about freedom, that You will equip them, empower them, help them to walk that life as free people. Oh, Jesus, come powerfully. Right now, navigate the lies of the enemy. Break the lies of the enemy. Let down the chains of the enemy. All the things that we believe about our identity that is not true. Jesus, we are Yours and only Yours. And we stop the lies of an enemy right now because we are of Jesus. We are Yours, Jesus. And I want to bless that church with that truth. There is freedom in Your name. There is freedom in Your name. Amen.